When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Welcome to Pop Law Podcast. I am your host, Desiree, and I'm still not your attorney. Pop Law Podcast is presented to you by Revolt Podcast Network. Pop Law is back with a new sound, same show, and all things pop culture and law. On this episode, I am sitting down with singer, songwriter, and overall girl boss, BB, also known as Brittany B. We will be breaking down recording contracts, what happens when a new artist signs a deal, then blows up and becomes a star. This topic is about leverage. Please welcome BB, Brittany B. Hey girl, hey.
Okay, I love this.
You look so beautiful.
You look amazing.
Thank you for joining me on Pop Law.
Absolutely, thank you.
I'm so excited to see you. So I know BB, I've seen her in the studio writing for all of the stars, but this girl is amazing and also a songstress herself. Brittany Barber, known professionally as BB or Brittany B, is an American Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, recording artist from Compton, California.
I mean...
She has a diverse catalog as a songwriter with cuts on Jennifer Hudson, Summer Walker, The City Girls, Freddie Gibbs, Queen Naja, Tyla Yahweh, and more. In summer 2018, she started off as an A&R consultant at Warner Music Group and quickly secured a spot on the global A&R team, working closely on acts such as Bad Baby, Jason Derulo, and more. She has now founded her own Los Angeles-based full-service creative agency, Verse One Entertainment, that specializes and building and placing catalog on artists, TV film, for new undiscovered talents through songwriter and artist camps. She is a music supervisor on AMC All Black's latest dramedy series, A La Carte, which is executive produced by Megan Good. And she's gearing up to release her new album, Ghetto Feng Shui, cementing her position as a new R&B triple threat that can do it all. Brittany B, everybody.
I'm trying.
So before we get into the topic, mm-hmm. leverage and record deals, mm-hmm. I have some rapid fire questions for you.
Okay.
Are you
what's
ready?
That?
Okay.
Rapping me fast.
That is. You got to okay. answer them. First thing coming to your mind.
First thing on my mind?
Yes.
My mind is bad. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to try.
Caramel or caramel?
Caramel.
Old school or new school?
Definitely old school.
Heels or sneakers?
Sneakers.
These get harder.
Okay.
Can't Stop or These Hoes?
Can't Stop.
Okay, so these are two songs Brittany has written. Tell us a little bit about Can't Stop.
So Can't Stop is a record that I did with Theophilus London and Kanye West. And the way it came about was so crazy. I actually went on a road trip with a friend of mine named Mike Moore, who is a musician and a producer. And he's like, hey, do you want to go on this road trip with me to this artist's house in Palm Springs? And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not, right? Because one of the things that I teach, like, a lot of my mentees is, like, the hardest part is just, like, showing up. Like, you just got to show up and, like, figure out what your, you know, what the opportunity is, right? So I said, sure. So I went on the trip, and I get there, and it's Theophilus London. And he's like, what you do? And I'm like, I sing. You know?
Yeah.
And so then we ended up making that record, and I didn't really think too much of it. You know, I was just, like, putting good energy out there. And I get a phone call a couple of months later, and he's like, Mike was like, yo, that record that we did with Theophilus, like, he placed it. He's going to make it his single. And I'm like, what? You know?
Yeah.
And he was like, I also have some other news. And he's like, he put Kanye West on the record.
Amazing.
And I
amazing.
Was like, what? So here is my name right next to, you know, Kanye West and Theophilus London, these amazing, incredible musicians. And it was my first placement as a as a background vocalist on a record, like with my actual vocals on a record, as well as like writing credit, like majorly.
Yeah.
I got my first major check from a record label. Then the check was $2,500, I think it was, for like singing background vocals or whatnot. But I was really excited to
go to a label
and pick up, an actual check for my gift, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so that's the story of that record. That's how
and
that
record
came
out. These Hoes, tell us a little bit about that.
These Hoes, oh Jesus, the Bad Baby era. So Bad Baby, for people who don't know, is a young woman now, right? At the time, she was about 14, and she went viral for being the Catch Me Outside girl.
Yes.
And so I got a call from the label, and they were just like, hey, we're thinking of signing this artist. We would love for you to work with her. So we started working together, and we built a really great relationship and really good chemistry in the studio. And we were trying to find her single. Mm-hmm. So we were cutting records, and we hadn't come up on the single yet. We had a couple of things that we were thinking would be the single. And so, interestingly enough, These Hoes... Name of the record, was a record that I had co-written with a friend, with Price from Audio Push.
Yes.
You know who that is.
Yeah.
He's a great friend of mine. And so we were actually just waiting for the producer to show up. Uh-huh. The session was running late. The producer was not there. And I was like, man, just pull up some beats. Let's just write a song. Like, let's use our time and be productive. And so I just came up with like, These Hoes Be Blah Blah and These Hoes Be, and it was...
I actually like the song. I love Bad Baby. And my friends used to be like, why are you listening to this girl? And a fun fact, one of the first episodes of Pop Law is about Bad Baby
That's
and some of her legal issues. So I'm very familiar with her. We got into the story because I wanted to give some context of why I asked these two rapid fire questions.
Mm-hmm.
But the last one, and this might be hard for you.
Okay.
After Hours or Love Me While I'm Here.
Neither.
Neither. Okay,
get
so tell
Ghetto Feng Shui, baby. We're moving on.
Okay, so
we're
those
in a
are past
era.
Albums, mixtapes, EPs, and I'm classifying it like that because we'll talk about it later, why
Absolutely.
There's distinctions.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's get into some facts of the case and why we are talking now.
Yes.
So to frame our episode on leverage and record deals, we will be looking into disputes with music artists and record labels and management. Specifically, we will be breaking down when these agreements are signed by unknown artists and they are small and then ascend into stardom and become big artists. But of course, they signed their deals when I will say they were nobody, but that's what the masses don't know.
Well, when they were starting out,
starting
is a good,
out.
You know what I mean? When they were starting out, yeah.
So the two recording agreements that come into mind for me when I think about this is Summer Walker's deal with LVRN, and of course the ongoing battle with Megan Thee Stallion and Carl Crawford of 1501 Certified Entertainment. So let's get into the case about Summer Walker. In 2017, Summer Walker signed a record deal with Love Renaissance, also known as LVRN. Allegedly, some of the deal points included an advance payment of $85,000, a 15% royalty rate of ownership on her master recordings, and receiving a small percentage of revenue generated from non-music deals, such as acting, brand placements,
endorsements,
and any other management percentages as well. Summer since came out and said that is not her current deal and the deal points have changed. But we do not know what those are. Allegedly, the agreement is more favorable to her now. In contrast, Megan Thee Stallion and Carl Crawford, this has been going on for 3 years.
Yes, yes.
We see the tweets of them going back and forth all the time. And it is really nasty
at
this
point.
It's
gotten ugly. It's gotten extremely unprofessional. I say unprofessional on the label side more than the artist because the artist is the creative.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, she's like allowed to express herself however she wants to, you know. Not saying that they aren't, but it's just a little unprofessional on their part, especially since they're trying to build a brand of being a reputable record label that wants to ultimately attract more artists. because they're only as good as their product.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's just gotten crazy.
So here's what we know about the Megan and Carl Crawford situation. She has been in this dispute for 3 years. Well, they both have been in this dispute for 3 years. And 1501 Certified Entertainment was founded in 2017. Megan signed her deal, and allegedly a management deal with them as well, in 2018. She later signed deals with 300 Entertainment, which was a distribution deal, and Roc Nation, which was a management deal, but she was still under the contract with 1501. While the full deal terms of Megan's contract with 1501 are not public and supposed to be confidential, we kind of know what they are a little bit because there's been about 3 or 4 lawsuits back and forth between the two of them. Some of the deal points or alleged deal points include a 60-40 split with Megan receiving 40% of all money earned under her recording contract. And she also allegedly receives 50% of her publishing, which means she might also have a publishing deal with 1501. She also allegedly has varying percentages on merchandising points, touring profits, which means it's probably a 360 deal. And for those who do not know what a 360 deal, that means the label can take from anything you do, including your music.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Well, yeah, a 360 deal, the reason why they call it a 360 deal is because it's a circular deal, right?
Yeah.
So it's an all-around deal. So you share all the revenue profits with them. So from everything.
Everything.
From your non-musical recordings, from your musical recordings, any touring, any merch, any performances, any endorsements. I mean, if you act, if you do any television film, if you do any commercials, there is a certain specific amount that you guys are all sharing all around.
All
so it's
around.
An all-encompassing deal, hence the term 360.
360.
You wrapped up in that thing. That's basically what it
is. And typically, the labels will take their money first or collect all the payments, and then after all of their expenses, then you get paid out. Is that how it works sometimes?
If you take an advance, and the advance is recoupable,
yes.
Which means that it's essentially a loan. And I think a lot of artists don't understand what that necessarily means. So they are the financiers. They
yes.
are financing your career,
dream,
your career
yeah.
and your dream all around. So what they think, the money grown trees, or like, how do they think it gets paid back? They have to pay it back. They have to earn it back,
yeah.
right? So the touring, the everything, the album release, let's just say just from album sales, right?
Yeah.
If they spend $50,000 on your recording, through, you know, from your recording budget, you have to actually pay that back before you start earning and accruing any profit
right.
on the revenue. So
and
if
y'all
your
heard
deal
that.
Only sell, I mean, if your album only sells $25,000, you're in the red.
You are in the red.
$25,000 until
they get their money back.
Until they get their money back. You don't see a dime.
So stay tuned for Pop Law Breakdown. I will go over some deal points and recording agreements, and we will talk about these terms, the advance, recoupment, and everything else. So a couple more facts on the Megan and 1501 case. Megan allegedly represented herself, and her mother also looked at the deal. Her late mother was an industry vet. And in some tweets, Megan and others have alleged that the attorney hired to represent her was appointed to her by the label. Never hire an attorney that was appointed to you by the label. That's a clear conflict of interest. Anyways, once Megan became big, she wanted to renegotiate her deal. The label, 1501, said, no, you can't renegotiate your deal. The deal terms stand, and now we have this big mess. Megan wants to get out of her contract now. She wanted to renegotiate.
Well, she stated that she wanted to renegotiate her contract, and I think because of the time span, the time lapse, like, that has gone by, is like, she's continuously been releasing music, so at this point, she feels like she's fulfilled the contract,
yeah.
which is why she wants the contract to show a status of fulfilled
right.
and be, you know, an end. But I think going back to what you were saying about attorneys, if she did, because it's alleged, right? If she did get an attorney that was appointed by the label, oftentimes that happens a lot. I see that a lot because artists, you can't just look in a phone book and look for
a music attorney
or entertainment attorney, right? You don't know who's the top entertainment attorney. It's not just necessarily easily Googleable for some of them, especially new artists and undiscovered artists, fresh artists. They're going with
what the label says.
What the label says and like the advice, right, that they're giving them. Like, oh, we know five different attorneys, but then it's kind of like the blind leading the blind because the labels, they got that recommended to them, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, it's a lot, it can be a lot of conflict of interest.
Yeah, so the great thing is the time that we live in, there's social media, and you can look up hashtags, just like you look up makeup artists, look up a hashtag for entertainment attorney or music attorneys.
Yeah.
A lot of attorneys are marketing themselves that way.
Yeah.
And LinkedIn. And so that might be one resource that people don't know to look at, but LinkedIn is essentially a portfolio or a database of where everybody works, and you can try again to look up those keywords. So everything that we talked about gets us to the issue at hand. The issue here is that new artists tend not to have adequate legal representation, as we talked about.
Right.
New artists anxiously sign deals with the expectation that the label will help them financially and also thrust them into stardom. Labels tend to provide artists a monetary advance to get them signed and started with the promise of marketing promotion and connecting them with songwriters like you. Whether an artist signs with an independent label or major label, the terms of the deal hinge on who has the most leverage. Again, stay tuned for the Pop Law Breakdown, where we will take a look into important provisions of recording contracts. So now let's talk about you and your thoughts on this entire situation with recording agreements and, again, Summer, Megan, and then your experience as a songstress yourself. What was your first reaction when Summer Walker's deal first leaked?
My reaction was that I wasn't surprised. I mean, she was an unknown artist releasing R&B music, which is one of the genres that isn't necessarily super popular on the charts, right? So we have like a lot of commercial records, a lot of pop records, and hip hop has been the dominant genre for the last 10 years on Billboard Hot 100. So I wasn't surprised that like she signed a deal that wasn't necessarily super favorable for her. But for me, the biggest question in it is like, what happens when it works?
Yeah.
Like it worked for her.
It did work for her. And,
you know?
And we saw that allegedly she was able to renegotiate that deal because she had leverage. She popped probably bigger than her expectations and the label.
And $85,000 as an advance is not a terrible advance. I mean, especially if you're someone who was like, I think she was like, she had a cleaning job at one point.
Cleaning business,
She, you know, I heard that she had different odds, you know, jobs and things like that. So she wasn't making $85,000
right.
even in a year,
yeah.
right? So for her to be making $85,000, like just getting an advance in her account, I can imagine that was such a relief as a creative. Because now she can like move forward in the steps of like just being able to create and, you know, and leaving it to the hands of LVRN.
And $85,000, again, that can be life-changing, as you said, coming from a cleaning business and odd jobs, that is tremendously changes your life. And so now you have this money, you're able to pay rent, catch up on bills if you
right.
are behind,
mm-hmm.
and start looking good, put that music
Absolutely.
Out. You know?
I mean, I remember when I signed my first publishing deal, I got $50,000 up front. I thought I was rich.
I know. You know?
I thought I was rich, you know? I was like very excited that someone was paying me for my gifts. So
yes.
like, again, I, you know, although it wasn't the best advance, I think it was the best amount of advance that she could get being an unknown artist. And she was, I mean, again, it was a small amount that I feel could easily be paid back to.
Absolutely. And that is a great point that can easily be paid back. Sometimes these million-dollar deals, you do not want to be in the red for the rest of your life because you have to pay this money back.
Yes.
That is you haven't performed yet. It's a service agreement. It is a loan. Some people call it a predatory loan because Anything that the label pays for will be added to that advance that they gave you, and you will always be in the red until they get that money back.
And a lot of artists sign to labels and get dropped. I don't think that we talk enough about the artists that they do give $100,000 to that makes them $10,000 or flops, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So then the label has to eat that cost.
Yeah.
You know, they have to eat that cost like a bank. So I think, like, it's just interesting. It's the only field, you know, the only, like, career path where essentially they can take a loss. And the artist is just like, okay, well, thanks. It was great being signed to y'all. It's like, no, you owe the, you know what
yeah.
I mean? So I think for her, it worked. Fortunately, it's worked out and it's working out because she is an incredible artist. But her deal, compared to a standard contract, is terrible.
So what's a standard contract?
It's bad.
Contract?
Jesus, it's bad, Lord. It's bad. It's bad. I mean, she just needed a more favorable, like, royalty rate. She needed a more favorable when it comes to the deal in terms of, like, the percentages. I think the percentages and also her commitment. So, like, what is her commitment? How many albums does she need to give to them? You know, how many songs does she have to deliver? I think that's super important in terms of calculating how long it's going to take you to get out of this deal. What is your delivery commitment?
And commitment is something that is really prevalent in the Megan case, because in one of the lawsuits between her and her label, they are talking about she has a minimum commitment that she hasn't filled. Now, to me, Megan put out 5 or 6 albums, but they aren't all counted as albums. In this latest case, she's saying, I'm fulfilled the commitment. I needed to give you an album, which was 40 minutes. This was 40 minutes and 2 seconds. However, the label is saying, well, it actually doesn't count because you didn't give us full songs. Some of it is skits. So, one, I think it's important to define the song length and also the album length if the skits count.
Yeah, I think for her, she's at the point where she knew that they were not going to let her out of the contract.
Yeah.
Labels are not obligated legally to let you out of a contract.
Yeah.
You signed the contract. Your job is to fulfill it, just like their job is to fulfill their end, right?
Yeah.
That's what a contract is.
Absolutely.
It's a promise. I make you a promise, and you make me a promise. We fulfill those promises. Contract is...
Contract 101.
Yeah,
that
you know
is
what I mean? That's
way
it.
To
it's
say
as
it.
Simple yeah. as that. Like, I promise to do this if you promise to do this. It's simple as that. And if you don't do those things, it's called what? A breach of contract.
Yes.
So when I first saw the Megan and Carl Crawford chaotic situation,
chaos.
I was just like, one, as a creative, and I just disclaimer, I fully respect Megan. I think she's an incredible artist. I think that her ascension into stardom has just been incredible to watch. However, I do think that if I were, like, her personal friend, I would put my hand on her shoulder and be like, girl, fulfill your contract.
Yes.
Just fulfill your contract.
Right.
The sooner you do that, the sooner you get out of it.
And you
it's
are
so
free.
It's so simple.
Yes.
Like, it's not that hard. And I get it. She's, you know, she's gotten more popular, so she wants to renegotiate, but he ain't got to.
He does not have to.
And you can't get mad that he don't want to.
Exactly. The four corners of the agreement, what we like to call, those terms stand. You abide by that.
Right.
And what does he get out of renegotiating? What is the benefit for him
exactly.
to allow you to renegotiate?
Exactly, because essentially, both of them started off, and this is what happens, and it's an emotional thing, right,
yeah.
as humans. They started off with high hopes. I'm putting this money and I'm investing into you because I believe in you. You're signing the contract with me because you believe that I'm going to be able to do for you what your heart, what you really want, which is to be lit, be popping.
Which you couldn't do on your own.
Which you couldn't do on your own or else you wouldn't have signed the contract.
Yeah.
And so guess what? It happened.
It happened.
How you going to go back on that?
How you going to go back on it? I mean.
It happened. Like.
Carl Stantish. She got popping. She down with Roc Nation and everybody else. Now she don't want to mess with me. Maybe that's not true. But her point is, no, there's an accounting issue. You owe me money now. But before that, she just wanted to renegotiate. And now it's all these other things. So, I mean, I don't know.
Well, she wanted to renegotiate the contract. He did not want to renegotiate the contract. A part of her contract as signing a production deal, because she has a production, I guess, yeah, it's a production deal, label deal, whatever you want to call it, with 1501 certified. They then took their artists that are under 1501 certified and they got a distribution deal for those artists. Her distribution deal is with 300 Entertainment.
Yes.
And so she's now in two different contracts. She's in inception. She in one world and another world down at the bottom of the floor. That's what she's doing, right? So they're also collecting something.
And so Megan has to pay 1501 and 300 before she gets any money.
Right. And a part of her contract, I believe, is allegedly, right, is that they have the permission, they have to sign off on when she releases records. But that's something that's actually standard in a lot of contracts. If you sign to a major record label, they have to approve your records. They have to approve your features. They have to, you know what I mean? It's not just like, oh yeah, I did a record with my homeboy, right? Like Beyonce's like, yeah, I did a record with Joe Brown.
You'll be like, who was that? We're not putting that out.
Right, exactly. Or they do that as well, given the timeline of releases, right? So if like, for example, Drake and Meek Mill are releasing records at the same time, Drake might be like, Drake's label might be like, well, yo, you got something coming out in November and he's trying to promote in November. Yeah. Let's hold off on that until October, or let's do this, move it up, because, you know, there's so many different factors that go into it, but the bottom line is they have that right. It's contract, it's in the contract that they have the right to approve and deny.
So with,
you know, the
this,
release of records,
this ability to approve and deny, is this sometimes why some artists are shelved or they never put out music even though they have this record deal and they have these promises?
I mean, I don't want to say shelved because of the releases. I think it's a tricky thing. It's a number of factors. You know, if there's a different, there's another artist that's releasing on the label and the marketing team, you know, again, because they share marketing right, departments and stuff. And I think it's an all hands on deck for a particular person. It's all hands on deck for all the artists, right? So you wouldn't necessarily want to put your album out when the same time as someone else, you know, and run the risk of not receiving as much love or as much support because another popular artist is dropping music.
And that
it
risk
just is what
means
it is.
You won't get those streams, you won't have anyone looking on it, which means you won't make any money and you aren't able to pay back that advance.
Well, you want to set yourself up for greatness.
Yeah.
You want to set yourself up, the artist wants to set themselves up for the best release possible. So I think in her terms, she, as a rapper and just as a hip hop artist, they typically and statistically release music much faster. So every Friday on New Music Friday, Rap Caviar, right? All these Apple Music playlists, et cetera, they're dropping like 11,000, 12,000 new hip hop records every Friday. So she has to release music, you know?
Yeah.
So him denying the records or saying, no, she can't do this feature or not approving that, you know, she's filing the lawsuits, right? So she filed like restraining orders against
and
the company.
And that's not a physical restraining order to stop him. Like, a restraining order to say, you can't stop me from putting out music.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And her winning that, right?
Yeah.
She won those motions. And I think that's amazing. It is incredible because I don't agree with them denying her to drop her records, especially if she is, if she's becoming more and more popular. Why would you stop that for your artist? You want that artist to, but there's so many, again, there's so many factors, so much stuff going on with them.
So are there any, I guess, pros or cons of signing with an indie label? Again, 1501 is an indie label. It's not like a Warner.
Well, she signed a production deal. So she signed, I think, half of her publishing away, right? 50% of her publishing. So she essentially signed a co-publishing agreement. And again, I haven't physically seen her contract. But typically in production deals, you are signing for a certain amount of releases, right?
Yeah.
And then you're signing for a certain amount of time. You get a certain amount of advance. And then if you, let's just keep it in layman's terms, right? If you get lit, you get popping, they get first right of refusal. They get first dibs on helping you get a major label deal or get major distribution. They get to counter offer if someone makes you an offer. There's all these little different things that are in the contract that you have to understand.
Yeah.
You know?
So what are options then? We hear a lot about options and Tell everyone what that is.
An option is basically extending the period of time that your deal is, that you're in the deal. So if your deal is for 1 year, $100,000, 10 songs, then they say with an option. That means another of that same term, basically,
yes.
And like just to keep it like basic.
Yep.
That's what that means. So they get another option. They get another time to offer you the same contract. Now, when your deal is up and it's up for renewal, you can also send them notice and say, hey, I'm considering
going somewhere else.
Yeah. Or someone made me another offer. And again, if it's in the contract that they have the first rights, then they have to, you gotta send them that contract.
Yeah.
And say, okay, well, Atlantic is offering me blah, blah, blah. And then they have to be able to
match it or beat it.
But sometimes, unfortunately, people sign contracts where the option is just already written in,
yeah.
And it just automatically goes to that option. They don't even have the opportunity for anything
Someone
else.
Told me, and I won't mention who it is, because he is a pretty popular artist. He signed a 2-album deal with 8 options. So 8 more years.
So 10.
10 years. One, you can't really do that because there's a 7-year service law in mm-hmm. California. But you signed that in what year? In the 20 teens. I can't believe, and he had an attorney. Not a very good one.
Oh my God.
But I can't believe someone still signed an agreement like that. But again, it's
yeah,
very difficult.
I was gonna say, I think a lot of times when people sign deals that are deemed bad or unfavorable to the artist, it's because they're just not educated.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we have so much, we have a plethora of information online now,
yeah.
And a lot of different music organizations, private organizations, even just the Recording Academy, right? That provides music education.
Yeah.
When I was younger. Even though I'm still young.
Yes, you are, girl. Yes.
No, when I was younger and I was going to school, I didn't major in music or mm-hmm. singing or songwriting, because for me, I was like, God gave me that gift. I'm good. I felt very confident in my gift. But I was not confident in entertainment law and entertainment business. I was like, I don't know. Like, I was in my mind, I was like, would they come get me?
Yeah.
And they come to offer me this deal. I want to know what my deal is, and what's going on in it. I don't want to be swindled. And so that's why I have went so hard for learning about music education and mentoring other creatives too, you know, because there's so many options now. So going back to what you were saying, distro deals, major label deals.
Yes.
The pro of a major label deal is they paying for everything, baby. They paying yes. for it all. Okay, if you need a lash, you need an earring, you need a tour bus,
yes.
you need a poster,
they are
whatever you need, record a studio, a booth, a mic, they got you. They paying for features. They doing it all.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Marketing, mm-hmm. billboards, everything.
Yeah.
Everything that you could think of, all encompassing for your deal, they are taking care of it,
mm-hmm.
right? The con.
Okay.
You typically give away your masters. Mm. Which is a super important thing that you want to try to hold on to.
And masters are important because you can do any and everything with your music. You can go license it out in sync licensing, which you do all the time, and we'll tell you what that is in a little bit. You can have other people record it. But overall, globally, you get the say-so and you get all of the money first.
Your masters is your key.
Yes.
And it opens a bunch of doors.
Yeah.
And you give that key to that label, they opening the doors, they signing off. They have ownership over you.
Yeah.
And your entity. And it's unfortunate, pros of a distro deal, right? So I have a distribution deal right now with 1RPM. It's a global distribution company. They're all over the world. And we have an amazing urban, department. And my deal is I have a distribution deal with my company. Mm-hmm. So it's Verse One Entertainment / 1RPM,
yes.
right? And so the pro of that is I am in the driver's seat.
Yes.
I can release records when I want to. I'm the CEO of the label. I can sign off on my features. I can do whatever I want to do, right, in terms of the label, and I don't have to worry about going through anybody else
yes.
to be as creative as I want to be, right?
Yeah.
The con.
Okay. You doing it all.
I got to pay for everything, Jesus. I got to pay for it all, Lord. I'm tired of it, okay?
Listen. Yes.
Everything you think of, I have to pay for it. Yeah. I have to finance it myself, right?
But that ownership is key, as you said. And,
yeah.
and it'll all come in. One of the things that I love about you is you were willing to go get educated and learn the business and not end up in situations that we see so many artists when you watch these shows of what happened to our favorite artists, where are they, and even current artists that we see right now. In addition to being a singer, songwriter, and in these type of deals, I believe that it's extremely relatable, more relatable than me as the attorney, that I can tell you all the deal points. But, you know, having this mutual conversation of us talking about it, someone living, breathing it, and we all know the business, apart from that, and which is also extremely important, you were an A&R at a label. You know how it works. So you are speaking full circle, 360.
Yes.
And y'all should be listening, taking notes, right?
Yes. I feel like working at a label as an A&R and working on the global team really helped me to understand both sides of the coin and really gave me an appreciation for understanding myself as a business and as a brand and not just like, oh, la, 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 I want to drop music. I want to be like, you know, shoot music videos. It's fun. It's like, no, this is actually a real business. You are a business entity. Your name, your likeness, your image, all of those things are a commodity. It's a product for them to sell and make revenue off of. And so when you see, you know, even like athletes, see Shaquille O'Neal on a box of, you know, Cheerios or whatever, and you see, you know, Nicki Minaj on the Rap Snacks, right? Yeah. All of those things are wrapped into some type of deal, you know? And so I think it's important to understand both sides, for sure. The other con of having a distro deal is going back to what we were just talking about, marketing.
Yeah.
So you have to pay for your own marketing and fund your own marketing. Now, distribution deals and distribution companies do offer some label services up to and including marketing.
Right.
However, it needs to be funded. So they might have access to, you know, Times Square billboards and you know, whatever the case may be in terms of what you want to do to market yourself.
Yeah.
But you will have to eat some of those costs as well.
Now, does social media make marketing yourself easier? There are some artists who are extremely popular off of social media, and then labels come to them and they have the leverage to say, I will agree to these terms or I won't agree to these terms, again, because they're famous through social media.
I think social media helps tremendously. I would be like, blind if I didn't say it didn't help, right? I mean, obviously, I developed an artist, Bad Baby, right?
Yeah.
Who was her biggest leverage was and still is her social media presence, right?
Right.
So she was able to, and what I loved about working with her and even just this entire learning experience developing an artist and breaking an artist was that her conversion rate.
Mm. Tell people what a conversion rate is.
So you can have 1 million followers.
Right.
Right. Let's just take 100. You could have 100 followers. And you say, hey, what's up? It's your girl, BB. Buy my album today. And 10 people download it. My conversion rate is what?
10%.
But if I say, hey, it's your girl, BB. Download my album. And 50 people download it. It's a 50% conversion rate.
Yeah.
You want your conversion rate to be as high as possible. It doesn't necessarily matter how many fans you have, right?
Right.
But you want your conversion rate to be super high. And what I noticed about Bad Baby was her conversion rate was through the roof.
Okay.
When she said, hey, y'all, go do blah, 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 or hey, I'm at Knott's Berry Farm, pull up on me at 2 o'clock, it was 1 million kids outside pulling up on her at 2 o'clock. And so that's how the label was able to see, okay, she can sell a product.
Yes.
She can market something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's extremely important for social media artists because if they go to a label and they're like, well, look, I'm telling people to go follow my YouTube and they subscribing like crazy and I'm telling blah, blah, blah. Well, how about we start putting t-shirts on there? How about we start telling them to download my song? How about we start selling hair care? How about we start doing et cetera? And that's how you get those social media stars who convert to music artists, right?
Yeah. So if you have this high conversion rate, sometimes it's like, why do you need the label? What do you think the reason is? Is it they don't have to pay out of pocket for that additional marketing? Or is there another reason why they will be willing to sign with a label?
I think, it's a number of factors. It depends on what the artist is looking for, what their goals are, what they want to do, right? I think, for example, like a Queen Nyjah, she was like a YouTube star, right? But Queen Nyjah is immensely talented.
Yeah,
she doesn't. To me, she don't need YouTube.
Yeah.
She can sing her ass off, you know what I'm saying? So she's incredible, but she'd be silly not to use her social media presence in order to like sell her music, right? And I feel like for her, signing a record deal was extremely beneficial because it solidified her seriousness in the music industry, right?
And actually, she's on tour, I believe, with Mary J. Blige,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, she's on tour. I'm trying to go to the tour.
Let's go.
You trying to go?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to go together because I'm ready to go hear some singing, okay? I'm ready to go cry.
I'm gonna be like, can I do some background vocals with some like, I don't know, what is it called? Voice auto tune? I can't sing at all, girl. I can't even hum.
That's okay, I got you.
Okay.
I got you.
Okay. I stay trying to get on. I'm like, Renz, can I learn how to play the drums?
You can
at
do
the
my
academy?
Intro. You have an amazing speaking voice. You can do my intro. You can be
y'all,
like, hey,
y'all heard it here first. I'ma do the intro on BB's new album.
Yes, you gotta do the intro, you know?
So tell us a little bit about you, what you're working on. We just go focus on you.
Focus on me.
These new projects, this new album, what you want to do, where you're going. Tell us everything.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm continuing to, you know, educate the young creatives. I just started a new mentorship program, First One Entertainment Mentorship Program. So it starts in October. It'll be going, it's a 4-week program. It's an ongoing program for creatives to meet with me, do one-on-one sessions, and really just get really personalized educational services on what is necessary. And also keeping it real, like, you know, I see a lot of these, like, companies who are like, oh, we're gonna teach you the 5 steps to how to make it. And it's like, no, there are no 5 steps. It's not like a formula, right? Everybody's different and everybody's path is different. Mm-hmm. But the opportunity is there and giving them real connections and helping them make a real impact, right? So I'm continuing to do my sync camps, right? I just recently placed one of my singles in one of Issa Rae's shows, Sweet Life. On HBO Max.
I love that show. And you said Sync Camp. We're talking about sync licenses. So you got it a little bit to it. Tell people exactly what syncing is.
So syncing is, and this is why it's important to own your masters, right? But it's being able to license out your record over and over again to different media platforms like television, film, commercials, whatever it is that they need to be able to license and utilize your music for. Yeah. So
That's another check.
Okay.
Okay.
And if you, you'll also be able to earn on the composition and on the master. So for your vocals. So I get 2 checks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
multiple streams.
If you own your masters, right, on those records. So I've been doing that, really getting into the television and film, more music supervision as well, which will allow me to be in the driver's seat to then reach out to creatives and sync their music.
And what is music supervision? Because this is really important. There's not a lot of Black people, but a Black woman who is a music supervisor.
Oh my gosh. I'm just super grateful for All Black and for the A La Carte series. That was my first time being a music supervisor. And basically, anything that you hear in a TV show or a film, someone placed that music there, right? Someone listened to it, they watched the scene, and they said, this song goes with this scene, right? And then there's so many other layers to it, like post-production and spotting sessions, there's all this other stuff. But the basics are, I put music in TV and film, and it's fun. And, you know, it's like placing a record on an artist, but it's a scene.
Okay.
And being able to utilize my A&R skills that way as well, and engineering and mixing and just all that great stuff. It's been really great. So,
multifaceted, multi-hyphenate. We got all this over here.
Yes. And so after all of that great stuff, The movie that I'm in comes out in the fall. It's called Imani. It's a Mandy Haley production directed by Mike Ho. It stars Brittany S. Hall, Demetrius Shipp Jr., Chris Lofton, just some incredible, incredible young Black actors. I am immensely grateful for even being, you know, just next to them in this film. And I play like the comedic relief. I mean, you know, if you can't tell my personality, I'm a very goofy, fun, outgoing person. So it's a very serious action movie.
All right.
And I'm like, I'm the girl who be like, run. You know,
We not being the first one killed in the movie.
Yeah, I'm not being the first one killed in the movie. I'm not, you know? So it's that, and it's me just being that, like I said, that comedic relief for those who are watching this very intense, you know, action film. So that's coming out very soon. I'm very excited for that. And then we're going to drop this album.
Okay.
We're going to drop this album and get out some more music.
And tell us the title of the album again.
The title of the album is Ghetto Feng Shui.
R&B album, correct?
It's an R&B
song. So R&B is not dead.
R&B ain't dead. And I love Darrell Babbs, a.k.a. Tank, with my whole heart. I said his government name, Lord. He gonna get me. I love Tank with my whole heart, and I love, you know, Diddy as well. I have immense respect for him. But I, you know, and I appreciate, actually, I ain't even gonna say that I don't like that he said that. I actually love that he said, like, R&B is dead or whatever the case may be, or, you know, like, spark that conversation.
Right.
Because it allows for people to actually seek out new R&B artists and new soul artists. So look out for the album. It's coming out in about a few weeks.
Okay. You know, so tell everybody where they can find you, get in contact with you.
They can find me on all social media platforms. My Instagram is Brittany B Music. My YouTube is Brittany B Music. All that great stuff. And it's lit.
It is lit.
Come find me.
Come
you
find
me. You follow me, follow you back. I'm y'all friends.
I love a follow back.
Oh yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to increase everybody's
engagement. And conversion.
And conversions, right, exactly. So yes, no, absolutely.
So three takeaways from our conversation today. Number one being, once you sign a contract, companies are not obligated to renegotiate your deal. The second takeaway is a monetary advance is a loan you're getting that you have to pay back for services you have not rendered yet. And the third and most important takeaway from our conversation is there is no such thing as a bad deal. A deal is as good or bad as you negotiate.
And as you make it.
And as you make it.
Because you want to make it.
You want to. Thank you all for watching another episode of Pop Law Podcast. I'm your host, Desiree. Make sure that you follow Pop Law Podcast on Instagram and visit our website, poplawpodcast.com. Pop Law is available on all streaming services and brought to you by Revolt Podcast Network. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can watch our beautiful faces. Again, I am Desiree, and please remember, I am still not your attorney. Bye.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.